Wondering if you should stay in Illinois or move out of state? Get your copy of Scott Tucker's book, Escape Illinois, Should I Stay or Should I Go? Get your complimentary copy at retirementdakota.com.
Investment advisory services are made available through AE Wealth Management, LLC, a registered investment advisor.
She works hard to keep us keep our money. How you doing, Elise?
Oh, my goodness. Thank you. Things are great. Happy New Year to you and to everybody listening.
Happy New Year. We ended up with a pretty good year in the markets, despite that little March scary time.
We did. I hope everybody doubled down in their investments because we all know what's coming by looking in the rearview mirror, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what is coming? Yeah. Oh, I see what you're saying. We look better when we know what's coming. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, we all do. We make better decisions. We know how to invest low and reap the benefits when it all gets high. But the first day ended up pretty well as, also the Dow was up 319. Nice opening salvo. The S&P 500 was up. NASDAQ slipped a little bit at the end, but not much, and the Russell 2000 also up.
I was listening to a respected advisor who was on John Williams' show, Stephen Esposito. I'll say his name. He's great, and he's done a lot of great things. He's a great guest on the Noon Business Lunch. I listen every time he's on. He really paints a rosy picture to 2026 and talks about how the tariffs really hasn't had as much impact as people feared, which I think could be true. He thinks that there should be rate cuts that get us below 3%, that inflation is not an issue moving forward. And he's not the only one that thinks that way, Elise. I just found myself when I was listening in the car going, oh, I don't know if I see it so rosy. How do you see 2026?
Oh, my gosh. I want some of whatever it is he's smoking. Yeah. Seriously.
Well, I mean, he makes points that inflation is nowhere where it was 4 or 5 years ago. That's a fair point, right?
Well, of course it's not. But of course we're not also in the middle, of a pandemic, a global pandemic where everything stopped. I do think he makes some good points about some things. I'm not sure I would agree that interest rates are ever going to get back to 3%. And I don't know if he's expecting that to be the mortgage interest rate.
It's the Fed. He wants the Fed rate under 3.
Well, I don't know. I guess it depends how many people are going to lose their jobs this year. Right now, the job market doesn't seem to be going particularly well, and we're not really bringing in the immigrants that we used to bring in to sort of bolster our working numbers and keep things propped up. And so the economy seems to be doing really, really well for about, 8 to 10% of everybody. Not so great for the rest of it. I think it remains to be seen. If the Fed sees that employment is falling off a cliff, I think they will lower interest rates a lot. But if you looked at the numbers, the Fed minutes that came out, people were kind of mixed. It was a half and half situation on whether they should continue to lower next year.
I don't know why we're so addicted to the lower rates of the 2010s and beyond that I think caused some of the issues that we ended up having. Like, I want the Fed to be able to have as many tools as they can in their tool chest to help out when the economy goes south. If you lower rates continually and continually because things look okay, you really take out that tool out of their tool chest if something bad were to happen, Elise. Does that make any sense?
No, I completely agree. I mean, we lowered interest rates 17 years ago for the Great Recession because the world was falling apart. I mean, everything had frozen in the financial markets. You weren't getting credit extended. People lost their jobs en masse. I don't know if people remember this. It was a long time ago. But we had so many people who were underwater with their mortgages. They literally walked away from their houses. We're talking about millions and millions of people. It sounds incredible today when first-time buyers can't find a house to buy, but I remember being on the radio 15 years ago talking about what was going on in Atlanta where you could pick up midtown condos that today are selling for between $550,000 and $750,000. They were going for $50,000 a piece. Sorry, I didn't buy all of them. Because their developers were all going under. That's when you lower interest rates down to 3% to try to get people back to some sort of parity. What's happening now, of course, in real estate is that you still have about 60, 65% of Americans who have an interest rate of 4% or less, and they just don't want to give that up because moving or trading that that mortgage in is just going to be phenomenally expensive for them.
I heard you have a great conversation with John, must have been last week or the week before, Elise, just talking about the housing in general. And I think you brought up a good point in this email you sent about, like, this really is a generation left behind from a housing opportunity to buy houses. That has got to have some ripple effects that we can't even possibly fathom right now.
Yeah, I think that's right. There's this great housing gap. And if you look at 1.6 million, this is a number, not what your house is worth. This is the number of how many Gen Z and millennial households that didn't form in 2024. Not because they didn't want to, meaning they moved out of their parents' house and into their own place. They couldn't afford it. And when you look at the housing industry, it's, you know, the generation of more households needing their own space, kids growing up, moving out, forming their own relationships and families, that's a natural part of life. And a lot of our economy is based on it. I think people forget that housing accounts for somewhere between 6 and 12% of GDP with all the little ancillary things. So when real estate is depressed, like it is now, where you're not building the number of houses you need or the number of rental units you need, and what you have out there is too expensive, people aren't moving in. They're not changing residences. They're not buying new carpet and paint and furniture and all of these things. And so I agree with, you know, the person that we were talking about earlier, I forgot his name.
Stephen, yeah.
Stephen, right, who said that, well, tariffs didn't turn out to be as bad as expected. Well, I think the tea leaves are showing that the tariffs that are in place are phenomenally expensive, and some of those that have been left are the things that we need to build houses. And so when you think about why housing has gotten $10,000, $20,000, $30,000 more expensive in just a year, tariffs are the reason.
Some people have challenged wondering that stat of like 10% of the economy is the only ones that are happy about the economy, which isn't exactly what you said, Elise, but I've mentioned that on my show a couple times, and they wanted some stats. I think what we're looking at, Elise, and you correct me or you tell me if you have something else you're looking at, is the spending, is that the majority of the increases in spending are being done by the top 10% of the country. When you poll the country, the majority of people say the economy is not doing well. Are you kind of pulling from the same things I am there?
Yeah, I feel the exact same way. And so I'll say what I said earlier, you know, right at the beginning of our segment today, John, which is, you know, there's around 10% of the country that's really thrilled with how things are going. But the rest of everybody, and I think the lower you get in the income scale, the unhappier people are, they're not so happy. And until you've got the majority, or at least half of Americans, feeling like the country is going in the right direction and feeling good about it, I think you got to be worried about what the Fed is going to do next year, or this year, I should say.
Yeah, those vibes about how you feel about the economy, that has been a bewildering number for a while. And I'm not saying that it doesn't have truth to it. Things do still seem way more expensive than they certainly did a couple years ago, and feel like they should be either going down or decelerating price rises, which we've seen in some of the data. But at least this has been an ongoing issue, not only under the Trump administration, but of course under the Biden administration, where you could tell people, no, look, here's this piece of good news, here's this piece of good news. It didn't matter. People didn't feel it.
Yeah, I think the K-shaped recovery is a real thing, right? Some people are doing great. That's the upper end, the lower end, not so great. And again, you got to think about not just how you personally are doing today, those of you who are listening, but how are your kids doing? Are you supporting them? Maybe they don't feel quite as good about the economy as you do. And I think that you can just expand that circle over and over again to try to get a sense of how people are really doing.
Elise, it was a little bit of a conversation of me throwing things at the dartboard, but I appreciate you playing along with me.
You know, it's a pleasure. I want to encourage everybody to sign up for my newsletter.
Please.
Over at Substack. Just because it's got the real estate trends for 2026 this week.
Glink.substack.com. Is that where you want people to go?
It is. Thank you.
Absolutely. Elise, you're great. Great to talk to you in 2026. We'll do it again.
You bet, John. Thank you.
Oh, she's awesome to chat with.